Om Agyana Timurandasya Kinanjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Tadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sarivam Sarvaitam Sabadutam Parajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakhan Svitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatvate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchina Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishuvanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, Characteristics of Rishabhdev, Text Number 8. Can anyone read that? It's on the board. No. Any questions? It's hard to read the verse. Translation. We'll just read the translation. After Navi Maharaj departed for Badrik Ashram, the Supreme Lord Rishabhdev understood that his kingdom was a field of duties, of activities. He therefore showed himself as an example and taught the duties of a householder by first accepting brahmacharya under the direction of spiritual masters. He also went to live at the spiritual master's place, Gurukul. After his education was finished, he gave gifts, Guru Dakshina, to his spiritual masters, and then accepted the life of a householder. He took a wife named Jayanti and begot 100 sons, who were as powerful and qualified as he himself. His wife Jayanti had been offered to him by Indra, the king of heaven. Rishabhdev and Jayanti performed householder life in an exemplary way, carrying out ritualistic activities ordained by the Shruti and Smriti Shastras. Purport. Being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishabhdev had nothing to do with material affairs. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Cha Diskritam. Chai, Shishi Radha Gopinath Kijai. The purpose of an incarnation is to liberate his devotees and stop the divine activities of non-devotees. There are two functions of the Supreme Lord. These are the two functions of the Supreme Lord when he incarnates. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that in order to preach, one must live a practical life and show people how to do things. Apani achari bhakti shikaimu sabare. One cannot teach others unless he behaves the same way himself. Rishabhdev was an ideal king and he took his education in the Gurukul. Although he was already educated because the Supreme Lord is omniscient, Although Rishabhdev had nothing to learn from Gurukul, he went there just to teach the people in general how to take an education from the right source, from Vedic teachers. He then entered householder life and lived according to the principles of Vedic knowledge, Shruti and Smriti. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.10, Srila Rupa Goswami, quoting the Skanda Purana, states, Shruti, Smriti, Paranadi, Pancharachaka Vidim Vina, Aikantiki Harir Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. Human society must follow the instructions received from Shruti and Smriti, Vedic literature. Practically applied in life, this is the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the Pancharachika Vidhi. Every human being must advance his spiritual life and at the end return home back to Godhead. Maharaj Rishabhdev strictly followed all these principles. He remained an ideal grihastha and taught his sons how to become perfect in spiritual life. These are some examples of how he ruled the earth and completed his mission as an incarnation. So the text again. After Navi Maharaj departed for Badrik Ashram, the Supreme Lord, Rishabhdev, understood that his kingdom was the field of activities. He therefore showed himself as an example and taught the duties of a householder by first accepting brahmacharya under the direction of spiritual masters. He also went to live at the spiritual master's place, Gurukul. After his education was finished, he gave gifts, Guru Dakshina, to his spiritual masters, and then accepted the life of a householder. He took a wife named Jayanti and begot 100 sons who were as powerful and qualified as he himself. His wife Jayanti had been offered to him by Indra, the king of heaven. Rishabhdev and Jayanti performed householder life in an exemplary way, carrying out ritualistic activities ordained by the Shruti and Smriti Shastras. Mom Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadiyade Siddharana. Here it mentions that goal life has become liberated from the material concept of life. The only problem that we have is that we're misidentified ourselves with this body and mind, and therefore we suffer. And we don't want to suffer, we want to be happy. So if we want to be happy, we have to liberate ourselves from this false identification, and then in our natural state of being, we're naturally happy. And when we become Krishna conscious, then we become not only happy, we become blissful. Therefore, Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bharati bharata glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shijamyaham. Krishna, he wants us to be happy, and therefore he's coming millennium after millennium in order to give us the information necessary to make progress towards liberation. And when he himself comes, just as Maharaj Rishabhdev or other incarnations, all of them, they not only preach, but they also act in such a way as that people can understand what they're talking about. Prabhupada would always give the example, if the parent tells the children, don't smoke, and the parents are chain smokers. Everyone knows what chain smoker means. You smoke one cigarette after another, like a chain. Then it is very unlikely the child will understand exactly what the parent is talking about. Oh yes, I should not smoke except in a chain. No one has to act first. Therefore, a teacher has to have two qualities. One is they have to know, well, more than two qualities, but at least the teacher has to know what they're teaching. And you can't know what you're teaching unless you're following it. So you must be realized in your subject matter. Otherwise, what is the value of your teaching? So often the scientists We claim to be scientists, but they themselves have no idea what they're talking about. They talk about black holes. They've never seen a black hole because you can't see a black hole. And they talk about so many other things, galaxies and what's like, what the dinosaurs, their diet of the dinosaurs were 5 trillion years ago. They've never met a dinosaur. They've never watched a dinosaur eat. They have no idea. But they talk as if they know everything. And you go to college, you pay money, they give you a diploma, listening to people who don't know anything. Even about basic material subject matters, they're just speculating. And 10 years later, your degree becomes worthless because everything that they taught you was proven to be wrong. And the only thing you have is a piece of paper, and it may not be edible, so it's not even worth a chapati. In any case, that's called cheating. I don't know something, but I'm teaching it. And unless I'm living it, how will I know it? Unless I'm actually following, just like Darwinian evolution, no one has ever seen anything evolve. Have you ever watched a mouse evolve into a dog? Have you ever seen anything evolve? The only thing that's evolved is all the nonsense teachings that they have. And what is the, how do you live according to evolution? You wait around and hope that you will evolve into something better. You have all kinds of bad habits. You hope that in the future, by evolution, they'll change and you'll evolve into some good habits. What is a practical demonstration of evolution? Ultimately, it is only materialism and personalism in another form, that everything is made out of matter and that you better enjoy your senses as much as possible because there's nothing higher than sense gratification. But, first of all, that's false. And the second thing is, the scientists have no actual proof or evidence, nor have they discovered anything by any kind of process. A matter of fact, when they discover by processes that their knowledge is wrong, they just cover over. For instance, you examine the rock strata, and you find out that the so-called, they have this picture of the horse, the little horse evolving into a big horse, and then they would look at the rock strata, which is nonsense anyhow, and they find out that the big horse comes before the little horse. So the big horse didn't, the little horse didn't evolve into the little horse. Otherwise, why is the big horse in the strata below the little horse? Did the big horse evolve into a little horse? Of course, the rock strata is ridiculous anyhow, because they have trees, petrified trees, upside down in the rock strata. So how can you have an upside down tree in the rock? How can it go through all the rock strata? It petrified after billions of years? Gradually petrified. So anyhow, they discover all these anomalies, all the things that prove that they're absolutely wrong, but they put in the textbooks as if they're absolutely right. So they're cheaters. They have no knowledge. They don't follow the knowledge. But their only thing, their expertise is just in cheating everyone. And because people are so dull, they go, oh yes, they're expert at cheating us. They're worthy of our praise. But actually, in order to be able to teach, one has to realize something. Otherwise, what is the value of the teaching? And in order to realize something, one has to follow the process to realize something. So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, Apani Achari Bhakti Shikaya Mu Savare. First, I myself will act, and then I'll preach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told everyone to chant Hare Krishna, and he chanted at least 16 rounds every day. if he told everyone to chant Hare Krishna and he was doing pranayama all day, then you'd wonder, maybe pranayama is better than the chanting. No, he chanted Hare Krishna and he told everyone else to chant Hare Krishna. He followed the principles of a sannyasi very strictly, and therefore he set the example as a devotee. So that's one side of being able to teach. The other thing is you have to know who you're teaching and how to make the audience receptive. Because you may have the most valuable information, but if the audience won't listen to you, then of course you may not be able to convey that information in such a way as to help anyone. For that reason, for instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took sannyas, because at least in the Vedic culture, people listen to a sannyasi. Maybe not in the modern culture, in the Western culture of sense gratification, where general people think, or even sometimes even the devotees think, oh, how can this person be renounced? Why doesn't he become more honest? Show outside what he's really thinking on the inside. But in any case, in the Vedic culture, when someone took sannyas, that was appreciated, and people would understand that this person, he's understood that he has to give up sense gratification. Because without giving up sense gratification, there is no question of knowledge, at least not according to our understanding of what knowledge is. Because if real knowledge is to understand the difference between matter and spirit, but if we're engaged in material activities, then how can we understand what the difference is? After all, Krishna says, by the workings of the illusory energy, as soon as we think of sense gratification, what to speak of performing acts of sense gratification, as soon as we even contemplate sense gratification, our intelligence is taken away. Indriyanam hi charitam yanmano nuvidiyate tadasya harati pragya vayur navam ivambasi. Just like a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. There it goes. Into the material energy. So if our intelligence has been carried away, where is there any question of understanding who we are or who anyone else is or what's going on? We can't understand anything. And the more it's carried away, it gets to a point it becomes reversed. What we believe is what is not real, and what is real, we don't believe it. Yanisha sarabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati samyami sanisha pashuto mune. So what is yanisha sarabhutanam? What is night for all sentient beings is a time of awakening for the self-control. And the night for the self-control of all sentient beings is a time of awakening for the self-realized sage. The opposite. What people think is the goal of life, namely to get money and enjoy the senses, is what will entangle them in the material energy and bring them to the lower species of life. Therefore, all the big acharyas in modern society, they're generally in the modes of ignorance and passion. Mahajano, yena kata sapanda. Everyone has to choose a leader and then follow them. The question is, where is the education to understand who's a leader? Some man gets elected as the head of the country simply by, well, why is he the head? Because he's the most he's the best puppet for the people who are actually controlling the country. He has no qualification, has no knowledge, he's the liar number one. Everything he said in order to get elected, that he does the exact opposite. They give him the Nobel Peace Prize, and he starts five wars. Yes, he's made all these countries very peaceful. there's no one left in it. It's very peaceful, and you go there, you can't find anyone. Therefore, we give him the Nobel Peace Prize. So he's the leader, he's the example, he's being given all the different honors, but for exactly the opposite of what he's actually doing. If we dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katasapanta, we have to choose a leader. Everyone chooses a leader. In the mode of ignorance, people choose Ravana as a leader, or Hiranyakashipu. In the mode of passion, they'll choose Bill Gates or some wealthy person as their leader and follow, hear from them submissively, try to understand what they're saying, and then to the best of their ability, follow in their footsteps in order to achieve what they have. But nowadays, it's simply wealth and sense gratification. Although people don't know what wealth is, they think some pieces of paper is wealth. Although they don't know how to eat, they may have billions of dollars, but look at what they're eating. We have no money, but in comparison, we have absolutely no money, but we're eating very nicely. So who's wealthier? If you have a nice samosa with kachoris, we don't want to get anyone too excited here, but... And someone else is eating some dead animal from the last war and paying 300 euros for it, for some dead piece of flesh. And you're eating a kachori. Who's actually eating the more opulent food? And after all, say you had $1 billion but you couldn't eat anything. What would be the value of your $1 billion? You'd starve to death in a very nice house? No, eating is the most basic thing. So who's wealthier? The poor devotee with no money but is eating very nicely? Or the wealthy billionaire who's eating all kinds of horrible things, unmentionable things? Who's actually in the true sense wealthier? Breathing fresh air, drinking clean water, having nice relationships with people, that's actually material opulence. That's actually sense gratification. If one is looking for sense gratification, living in a horrible city with polluted air, drinking contaminated water, being radiated by your microwave oven, by your whatever else is going on, eating dead carcasses morning, noon, and evening, fighting with your wife and everyone else, cheating people, lying, what kind of sense gratification is that? It's simply a life of misery, material misery. Your paper money will not help you. Without knowledge, everything is a waste of time. But in the modes of ignorance and passion, people have no knowledge, but they choose a person who is a bigger animal than they are because they have no knowledge. What's that verse? Svavit rahostra karaya samstuta purusha pashu yet karna patiyopeto jataka namaka dagraja. We'll get more dramatic because this is the sannyasis are supposed to be like that. Those who are like dogs and hogs, camels and asses. What do? They glorify the bigger hogs, dogs, camels and asses. The little animals. Wait, I'm a little animal. Oh, there's a big animal. So there are animals. They're all animals. Maybe in the forest there's a deer and everyone likes the deer. Oh, such a nice animal. Let's go and pet it. And there's a tiger. It's a bad animal. Good animal. Pet it. Bad animal. But they're all animals. So similarly, in the jungle of material life, in the jungle-like cities, some people are like passive animals, and they get eaten by the tiger-like animals in the city. But they're all animals, and they're glorifying the bigger animal. But they never chant Hare Krishna. They'll never glorify Krishna Because they're following the wrong person. One has to have some intelligence to understand what the goal of life. Nate vidu swartha kitim vivishnu darashaya ye bahya arthamanina andaya tandera upigiyamana ste pisha tandra urudami bara. So therefore, we have to choose someone who is at least knows what the goal of life is. So from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has told us that we're not the body. Of course, that may not mean very much to us. Oh, all right, I'm not the body. So what? No, it's a big thing. It's an important aspect of our existence. We're not the body. Somehow or another, we wound up in this body, and we're not supposed to get one body after another. It's not a good idea, especially in Kali Yuga. Therefore, the aim has to get out of the bodily concept of life. And there is a process, and there are leaders of that process. And who are the leaders of the process? Those who are actually following the process. And even if they're liberated, still at least, yad yad acharya shestas, tat tat eve tiro janaha, siyat pramanam kurute, lokas tata nuvartate. Even they're liberated, still they must act in such a way if they're going to teach. Now, I may be a paramahansa, and I sit in my bhajan kutira chanting Hare Krishna all day long. I'm not teaching. I don't have to tell anyone to go to Mangalarti. I don't have to tell anyone to chant 16 rounds, because I may be chanting the whole day, because I'm not teaching. But if one's going to be a teacher, then he has to act in such a way as to instruct others. Otherwise, what is the value of the teaching? Of course, as I mentioned before, there are different aspects of self of making an advancement. One is surrender, but the second is the conveying of transcendental knowledge. People may surrender to me, but if I don't have transcendental knowledge, then what is the value of the surrender? They'll surrender to the wrong thing. So if one demands surrender, Guru nasyasyat, Swajano nasyasyat, Pita nasyasyat, Swajano nasyasyat, Pita nasyasyat, Swajani nasyasyat, Nimochyat yaktum peti murityum. One should not become a father, a mother, a worshipful demigod, a guru, unless he's prepared to deliver his disciples from the path of birth and death. So if one's going to become an authority, if one's not going to simply sit as a paramahansa somewhere, then one has to not only act according to, well, teach, but one has to act according to the teachings. And one should know what the purpose of life is, to get out of birth and death. So if I have children and I don't teach them how to get out of birth and death, if I have relatives and I don't teach them, if I become a father or a mother or a worshipful demigod, or if I become a husband, if I become a guru, and I don't know that the whole purpose of my being an authority is to help my dependents become free from birth and death, then I'll become more entangled in birth and death myself, and I won't be able to help anyone. So here, some seemingly elementary aspect of our philosophy is being explained, that become a brahmachari. So becoming a brahmachari is not so simple. Swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva, self-study. So brahmachari doesn't mean, well, I don't know, what it doesn't mean whatever sometimes it means. Brahmachari means that I'm actually supposed to figure out who I really am by the process of surrender to the higher authorities and controlling my senses and mind, and that way engaging in service to the higher authorities and gradually realizing that I'm not this body. Realizing Brahman. Then if I take up household or life, then it's done in the spirit of service to Krishna rather than service of my senses. And by taking up by jaga, by dhamma, sense and mind control, by charity, therefore I become further purified and I can give up all attachment to the body and vanaprastha, meditate upon Krishna and take sannyas. So it's a process. Generally everyone should go through the brahmacharya, or at least if one is a Brahmin, trying to become a Brahmin, brahmacharya, the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas would go through the Gurukul. Others would go through their occupational duties, such as assisting others, or farming, or cow protection, or trade. They didn't need Gurukul because they'd get on-the-job training. But to develop qualities, one needs not purification and qualities, one needs knowledge. So therefore, one would go to the Gurukul and study sense and mind control, submission, all the qualities necessary to be able to hear and acquire knowledge. Then, by such knowledge, one would be able to teach others and help them when one actually acquired some knowledge. Teach others. In other words, if one even wants to become a grihastha, it is not that I'm a grihastha and now I can simply get some money, earn some money, and I come home and watch television. That's my occupational duty. Me and the family sit down morning and evening and watch television and get enlightenment from the one-eyed guru. No, in order to become a bona fide grihastha, then one has to have bona fide brahmachari training. Otherwise, one will mislead the wife or the husband or the children or the relatives or anyone else. Then if one is enlightened, then further, one has to take vanaprastha eventually. Not that I teach my children to stay in the grihastha ashram for the rest of their existence, like I do, up until the moment of death. The Yamadutas are coming to drag me away, and my wife has her rolling pin and beating on them. That's not grihastha life. No one has to set the example for the family. Then it becomes a bona fide ashram. So these things are not, they may seem very simple. Why is God himself trying to show it? Because especially in Kali Yuga, what to speak of even the other yugas, it's hard to follow these things. Our minds do not like austerity. They don't like not to have sense gratification. They're demanding it all the time, and therefore there's some difficulty, and we need examples like Maharishi Shabdev even to show us what brahmachari life is and grihastha life. Not that God comes and he neglects all these things. God comes and he sits, and he thinks, well, I'm God, I own everything, I don't really have to work, I'll just sit by the pool and watch television all day long. This is my incarnation. No, he comes as an incarnation to show us what we're supposed to be doing. Because he says if we don't do that, what's the worst result that Krishna says if he didn't set the example? What would happen? People would lose, the stock exchange would go down? Is that what he says? No, he said that he'd create unwanted population. People would follow in his footsteps. If he didn't follow his duty, then people wouldn't follow their duty, and the result would be varna samskara, which would create a disturbance to the world. People wouldn't follow their duties. They just engage in sense gratification, and the children born from such people would just be like animals, and they would be born in London, and they'd run through the streets. What's that? 4 days, yes. At least 4 days. And it's not the end of the story yet. So Varna Sankara. That animal-like children who can't hear anything because their parents, they also didn't hear anything. How to properly conceive of children. Therefore they had children like animals. And the children are like animals, and they'll have further animals, and then they'll evolve eventually into monkeys. Or devolve into monkeys. Maybe in 100 years you'll go through Great Britain and find people swinging through the lampposts. But that's not the aim of culture, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam's giving us knowledge of how to properly perform our work in this world so we can help ourselves and help others also. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Any comments or questions? Yes. Yes. Well, you can preach past your realization. It won't be very effective. I mean, after all, we're telling people you're not your body. So, have you realized you're not your body? if we had to preach exactly according to our realization, we wouldn't have anything to say. Well, we should, you know, as much as we've realized, we should explain it. That's subject matter. We can talk about Krishna, we can talk about Krishna and his devotees, but we should preach according to our realization on that subject matter. Is that clear? What else are you going to do? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us, Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Agai Guruhana Tare Desh. Whoever you meet, you're supposed to tell them about Krishna. Have you met Krishna yourself? Let me tell you about Krishna. Well, you have to tell them as much as we know about Krishna. As much as we know about the subject matter. Yes. I don't know. So at the end of your life? Yeah, so chant Hare Krishna. What else can you do? Is it frustrating? Well, that's probably a sign of lack of knowledge. We think, oh, the material existence is just that big. Material existence is quite big. It may take many lifetimes to become self-realized. But which would you rather do? Spend those lifetimes as a devotee? Or spend those lifetimes as a demon, eating nice prasadam life after life, or eating from the garbage? Which do you think is a better existence? Well, for you, which would you rather eat? We give you a nice plate of garbage, or a nice plate of prasadam? So, if you're going to have to come back, at least come back as a devotee and eat prasadam. Is that frustrating? As far as, you know, self-realization, it's up to us. It's our desire, but we have a taste for material existence, so what to do? Part of that is hankering and lamentation. So as long as we're in material existence, then we're going to hanker for things and then be disappointed. So the disappointment is not with devotional service. The disappointment is my attachment to hankering and lamenting. It's not devotional service fault, it's my material attachments. So that may take some time to get over. But it's devotional service which is helping me get it over my frustrations. That's what's helping me. Otherwise, I just spend my whole life frustrated. So as we make progress, gradually that goes away. But that's not devotional service's fault. It's the fault of material existence, of my existence in the material world. Actually, there's nothing to be frustrated over because we're eternal. We're exactly the same person we were when we came here. Nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed is the material energy just keeps on changing. And it'll always change. So as long as we think that that there's something in the material world which will give me the satisfaction I'm looking for, I'll be frustrated. Or if I think devotional service, I can have my material existence and my spiritual realization at the same time, I'll be frustrated because it's not true. I have to choose. Gradually I have to accept devotional service, and that way I'll be able to give up my material frustrations. So if I can't do it in this lifetime, at least Krishna is giving us another lifetime to do it. Not I couldn't do it in this lifetime, and the lower material nature says in the next lifetime I become a cockroach. No, because I've tried for a devotional service, I get another lifetime to try for it more. Rather than I tried for material sense gratification, in my next lifetime I became a cockroach. That would be very unfortunate. Yes. Well, they were nice sons. 100 sons. Well, if you, for him it wasn't. He's God. Krishna had 16,108 wives, and each wife he had 10 sons. So that's 160,080 sons and one daughter. So that's 16,108 daughters. And that wasn't enough for him either. So what's enough for one person is not enough for another. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if you were born as the daughter of Krishna, one of those daughters in Dwarka? Wouldn't you like that? Would you like that? So, Krishna is giving so many living entities the chance to be born in his family. So that's good. Then are born in Krishna's family, they have to take birth somewhere else. So the most qualified people, they take birth in Krishna's family. Yes. Yeah, well, from the material point of view, that's like the basis. That's where you either go up or go down. When you're a brahmachari, you look pretty pure. You're not doing anything. And when you're grihastha, that's where the real test comes. If you're going to go up or go down. If you use the grihastha ashram properly, then you become elevated. And if you don't, then you become very degraded. So most people go into grihastha ashram without being trained as a brahmachari, and therefore it becomes a disaster. But if they're properly trained, then it serves as the basis for the society. Without a good grihastha ashram, you can't have sannyasis and vanaprasthas. Yes. No, but we're not claiming that. We've heard from authorities that there is a Krishna. So we see in the universe things are under control. Planets are moving their orbits exactly on time. Snowflakes are falling in precise geometric patterns. So we understand that there is a intelligence behind the universe. Who that intelligence is, the scientists certainly don't talk about it, but in these books it talks about it. So we understand that the person who's giving us this information, he says his name is Krishna. Well, you may call him something else, but God, there is a God. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva yona shri kuntiya morti eksam bhavantiya mamayo nirma. Sarva yona shri kuntiya morti eksam bhavantiya. Tasa Brahma Mahadyo Niraham Bija Pradapita. He claims that he's the seed-giving father of all living entities. So with a little analyzation, we can understand that God, he's the creator of everything. So if he has, right now, He has a creation with billions and trillions of living entities. So if he appears on this planet and shows that 16,108 queens or 160,080 sons are there, that's only a very small amount of his actual sons, because everyone is actually the son and daughter of God. Okay, thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.